everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, a whole quarter of an inch of rain at the Buckmaster Bungalow, and that accounts for monsoon 2025. And I know
Probably evaporated.
It did evaporate. Everybody looked great in the garden for a while, just that little bit. But I know everyone says, please, Bill, be patient. But it's pretty hard, isn't it, Tom, when we hit 111 today?
We keep thinking that this is it. This is going to be the high note for this year. But
I know
Mother Nature has other things in store for us.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I've got my fingers crossed. Hello, everybody. Buckmaster on this Wednesday, the 9th day of July, 2025. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Center here in Tucson, central Tucson. It's exciting here. We've got five radio stations that operate in one location, a lot of camaraderie between all the folks that work at the five stations. Real kind of a family atmosphere. Here at Bustos Media, this radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We're in our, we'll close out year 15 with the Buckmaster Show at the end of the year, so we've got 14 and a half years now officially that we've been doing the radio show, and it's been about 37 and a half years since I came back to Tucson in January of 1988. Of course, I was here for 4 years during the 60s, going to the University of Arizona, then left and back. Anyway, worldwide live listening of my program during the noon hour. You can hear it at buckmastershow.com. And of course, we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. All of our podcasts are posted usually around the dinner hour at buckmastershow.com when we do our telephone interviews, and everyone is always invited to join us at any time during the hour, 520-790-2040, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Sean McCluskey and his team over there, they do a great job. General Ted Maxwell has led the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as the president and CEO since 2011. His nearly 34 years of military service includes 15 years in active duty Air Force and an additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a two-star major general in 2018. His final military position was commander, Arizona Air National Guard. In 2021, Governor Ducey appointed the general to represent Pima County on the seven-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He's also the ADOT representative on the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority Board. And he has quite a budding career. He seems to be getting better with every one of his broadcasts, which are becoming very popular on the Morning Voice here on KVOI. And General Maxwell does the show from 7 to 9 on Tuesdays. General, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Appreciate you having me on and appreciate all the kind words. I'm not sure about the getting better part, but I'm definitely feeling more comfortable. And it's really a good, the Morning Voice being five different hosts, five different days of the week. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got Tuesday, talk a lot about how people can get engaged and how they can make a difference in their community. But also, we talk a lot of politics in the morning. The drive time, you know, who wants to wake up and not have a little political conversation?
Yeah. What have you learned about radio news talk, about, other than the fact that how fast the hour goes?
Well, we've always talked about how quick the hour goes. I mean, I've been talking about, but Bill, we could spend an hour talking all the time, so I appreciate you taking me on for an hour today.
Sure.
But it does fly. What's been most challenging to me is always keeping and coordinating the guests. And I'm only doing it once a week, so I give you kudos. I mean, I know you've got some routine segments.
Yes, I do all the booking.
But to do it 5 days a week and is just phenomenal. 2 hours once a week, at least at this point in my life, is enough. It's fun for me to bring in people who are local.
Uh-huh.
And then every once in a while, we reach out and have somebody, you know, long-term. I mean, just to give your host an idea, the guests I had on this Tuesday is I had started with Police Chief Chad Kazmar. We had a great conversation for about 45 minutes.
He's always a great interview, really.
He is. You just ask him a question, he'll go.
I know.
And then after that, I had the senior advisor for the Republican National committee, which was very interesting to talk to her about where things go on. I mean, and her view, especially with, you know, districts like CD6 in our region, that the decisions being made in Washington get a lot of attention out here.
Yeah.
And then after that, I closed with Leighton Rockefeller Jr., who's a candidate in Ward 6 and will be running the Democratic primary. So across the board, it's great. You know, we've started to pick up on the number of call-ins and questions we've got, but it's that part to me that's the surprising part. It's the scheduling and keeping the conversations relevant.
You have to be an excellent time manager, too, to do this program. I mean, it's great. Tom does a great job on the other side of the glass telling us, you know, roughly when we're going to take a break. But still, you've got to manage how you put this thing together.
And I always point out that Matt Neely's behind the glass keeping me on time and on target.
That's right. In my intro, of course, I mentioned the Arizona Air National Guard. It was interesting that Tucson International Airport released that the economic report, and it's billions with a B of economic impact for our airport.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt about it. And the Guard does play such a big role out there. There's a lot of times you'll run into airmen downtown in uniform and everybody goes, oh, you must be out of Davis-Monthan. Mm-hmm. But people don't understand. We've got a 1,700 airmen strong, the 162nd Wing, which is located. It's got a couple units on Davis-Monthan, but the F-16 flying operation with almost 80 aircraft out there is on the airport.
Wow.
And the collaboration between Danette Bewley and her team at TAA is just phenomenal in ensuring that not only can that airport support a growing civilian traffic with the commercial airline business, but also that they can support the training of F-16 pilots operating off that base. Now, the runway improvements they're going through, when we have two runways, that's going to improve both commercial operations and the military operations out there. But the economic impact of TAA on the community of the airport cannot be underestimated. And we need it if we're going to continue to grow and bring in some high-quality companies. And they're always looking for how their folks can travel.
Sure.
So it's important, TIA. Strongly encourage everybody to always search TIA first.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there's times that it makes sense to fly out of Phoenix, but if you always search, the airlines notice when somebody searches to go from Tucson to someplace else and then books out of another airport. It lets them know that, hey, there's a demand.
Yeah.
Can we fill it?
Well, it's not just because they are one of our great sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, but I always try, and 99% of the time we'll fly out of Tucson. You know, the thing that discourages me about even looking at taking a flight out of Sky Harbor is that the unknown about traffic. If there's a problem on I-10, it is out of your control, General.
There's been several times, I'd be lying, that I'm either calling to change appointments or calling sometimes to try to change flights because of the I-10 traffic. Now, State Transportation Board just approved our new 5-year tentative plan, and it has been approved. Okay. It was approved at the last meeting that we were up in Payson, Arizona. Gila County was the host, and we approved the 5-year plan, and it includes all the expectations we've got for I-10, which will complete I-10 between Phoenix and Tucson to 3 lanes the entire way
through the Indian Nation. That's what always had been the hang up.
It always had been, but the Gila River community really recognized the importance, not just for their community, but for the region. If you've been traveling to Phoenix, you've seen that the Gila Bridge is under construction, and it's a pretty amazing, you know, part of it's higher than the other part now, but eventually it will all be the same level. How they do it with concrete, I don't know. But
by the way, that bridge goes back to the original inception, I believe, in the late 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Of I-10.
No, yeah. Absolutely. And that's what a lot of our infrastructures, we could point back to a long time ago. Yeah. We need to increase the funding for our infrastructure investments throughout the state. But for those of us who do make that drive a lot, it's going to get more painful before it's going to get better. That's the bottom line, Bill, as we expand the both sides of the highway to 3 lanes on each side. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a 6 lane all the way from Phoenix to Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
We all know when there's no easy way to do construction.
Well, I know they try to do it at night, if possible.
They will. They'll do everything they can to ensure continuous flow of traffic up there. But like you said, all it takes is one accident at the wrong place, wrong time, and it's trouble.
One more selling point for flying out of Tucson.
there you go.
All right, let's take a break right here. We've got so much to address with General Maxwell. And when General Maxwell comes in, lately I've been doing a full hour with him because there is so much to cover, transportation-wise, economic development. We're going to talk about Project Blue. We're going to talk about RTA next. All of that still on this hour with General Ted Maxwell. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. It's our midweek edition. Friday Focus interview. My co-media host will be my friend, Mr. Ferguson, Joe Ferguson. Joe did a great job at the Arizona Daily Star. Then he left the news business for a while. Now he's part of that Arizona Agenda, Tucson Agenda. They have the Arizona Agenda, which covers kind of out of Phoenix, more statewide. And Joe handles Tucson with a Tucson Agenda and its online news service. So he's always a great addition to my Friday show. And we bring in a different media person to join me in our interviews. And this week's interview, a guy I've known for, decades, Fred Duvall of the Arizona Board of Regents. And of course, Fred has served a couple of different times through the years one of the regents. Ted Maxwell is with me, General Ted Maxwell, and you know Fred very well, don't you?
I do, actually. Yeah. I've gotten to know him from this time on the Regents and in the last several years.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously very active in not only in the state, but throughout the regions, the area. And, you know, his decision to run for governor again, too, kind of changed some of the structure in the Democratic Party, too, because there were some up-and-comers that kind of stepped back, and now they're reemerging. And it's, you know, it's amazing how just little decisions that you make along the way to try to do something can really impact the the environment of the legislature and of the electeds going forward.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to catching up with him because he'll be rounding out this second term. And I think that's a 6-year term on the regions. He'll be rounding that out in a few months. So a lot of stuff going on with higher education, and which is under attack in many ways from Washington. But anyway, Project Blue seems to be the topic of the day, topic du jour. This summer, anyway, and there are a lot of concerns, and I accept those concerns over water and power about these very large storage units, IT storage units that would be going in out there.
It's important to know.
Where do we start with this?
Let's start a little bit with what the data centers are. Everybody thinks of them always as storage, but it's really about computing power. I mean, there's only a handful, a dozen or so companies that do data centers and processing centers. The future of our society is going to be data-driven. And it's not where, you know, at my age now, I think of data, I think of spreadsheets and numbers, and that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ability to take information, to take code, to process it, and process it quickly. AI is a remarkable thing that's going to continue to grow, and it's both its usage, both as individuals, but also for businesses. And the amount of computing power that's required to perform the activities they're performing to get the data back in the best and most accurate manner is just remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the growth of technology, and for decades, a lot of the technology was offshored.
Yeah.
A lot of it came from China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now Taiwan manufacturers and others, we've got chip manufacturing in Arizona. Our state is an ideal state for things like data centers, which cannot fail. They cannot be knocked offline. Mm-hmm. If they're knocked offline, somebody's business, somebody's livelihood, somebody's personal lives are going to be dramatically affected.
Mm-hmm.
So why do they choose Arizona? I mean, it's hot. We're low on water. But you know what we don't have?
What?
We have very few natural tragedies and problems.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have huge floods. We don't have tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have snowstorms that shut the regions down. Our weather is predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to work in that manner.
But we don't have a lot of water, and these use a lot of water.
Okay. They do. You're right.
Yeah.
They do use a lot of water, especially historically.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the advancements you make in technologies when you start. They become more widespread use. Now, there's a lot of concern, and I am not under the NDA. I have no
non-disclosure agreement.
I have no read into it. That is something being handled by the county, the city,
the chamber. Yeah.
They're the ones that do the economic development. So when I say something, it's stuff that either is already out there in the public, and I've got a couple of briefings that you've probably seen that there are stuff that was presented to the boards, and I'm going from that standpoint. But the reason you have an NDA generally is to protect
the information.
Yeah, to protect the end user. But not just from the name. Obviously, they don't want their name out there, because if let's say it falls apart and the city of Tucson says, no, we're still closed for business. We don't believe we have enough information. For some reason, the city just says it's off. They don't need to go explain to other communities that are trying to go into this why they were turned down.
Why it was shut down.
So, yes, that's why you don't hear their names yet. But there's also you hear a name.
You're hearing Beal.
Correct. Well, Beal's the one that's managing the project.
Okay.
Okay, remember, 3,000 plus jobs just for the construction.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, there's a lot of things out there. But the other reason the NDA is important is a lot of stuff in or a lot of the advancements in data centers and in these processing facilities, the hyperscalers, you'll hear them talk about hyperscalers, it's all proprietary.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing stuff. This organization is looking here because of our weather, but also the fact that they believe they do data centers and hyperscaling in a sustainable process. They believe what they've got will allow them to go and do a little to no end run, you know, use negative net. You've heard probably a lot, the cities and others are saying, no, you need to be a positive water person. Hard to be a positive. You take in so much water, creating water inside the building stuff. But they're looking to be net zero on the water loss. And more importantly, the investments that this company is making in order to make this happen with their newer technology, which is not what the older data centers were using that had a lot of the concerns and problems from past communities, they're investing a lot of money. You don't build an 18-mile purple pipeline, which doesn't exist right now, that will be used not just by them but by other entities throughout the region unless you have confidence that you can do this exactly how you're saying you're going to do it. That is a lot of investment that's being done that's not directly part of running the operation. It's additional cost, so they've got to believe that this will be successful in this region and they can do it in a manner that is sustainable and contributes effectively to the region.
What do you say to this listener who just sent me a message that the non-disclosure agreement should not apply to water usage and other public resources? They should be able to say, we will use X amount of gallons of water a day and use Y megawatts of electricity.
Again, I am not read in on this, but my understanding is there will be more data that will be presented early next week that will have more of those type of details. Now, when you talk to a lot of the folks about water, I've said, I probably said it on your show too, because I'm hearing some ridiculous comments now about reclaimed water. But to me, reclaimed water is the future of our water system.
Right.
You know, we have to get past that. And now I heard on a talk show earlier today that there people were saying, well, this is just a way of going toilet to tap. Well, reclaimed water isn't toilet to tap. Toilet to tap is a ridiculous statement because every ounce of water that comes into our systems gets cleaned or taken care of in some manner. We don't take the water straight out of the CAP and don't put it through a process.
That's true.
I mean, if we're worried about toilet to tap, think about it for a second. Bill, you've been on rivers. You've been in lakes. One, there's a lot of animals that are already doing their business there, but let's be honest.
Listen,
humans
do
too.
I grew up on an inland ocean, Lake Michigan.
So
and did a lot of swimming in Lake Michigan as a kid, I'll tell you. So I'm sure I was joined by a lot of stuff.
So all the efforts we're putting in to make reclaimed water usable, and yet we're still struggling with it as a society. And I think eventually at some point in our future when dealing with water, we'll get over it because we're going to realize, you know, we had a pretty big beer contest a couple years ago in this region, making it from reclaimed water, and everybody showed up to drink that. The water's, we've got to get past that. But this purple pipeline that they're going to lay down is going to be a lot of money, a lot of investment. They're going to use the reclaimed water. Yes, they're going to start with potable water, my understanding.
Again, for a couple of years.
And I won't say it too many times. I'm not briefed in on any of the specifics.
Of course.
But they're going to use potable water for a bit of time. But they believe they're going to get back to a point where they're nearly, and I say nearly because getting to 100% is almost impossible, just reusing the water. The water's going to be going back into the system, going back into the... They're building as part of their efforts. They're building some more locations where we can feed water that's not used. And it's not necessarily the water demands change based on the time of the year. In the winter, they're significantly lower than it is in the summer because part of the cooling process.
What about power?
Power's the one, if there was one that I'd go, this is the one we need to make sure of. It's the power. And I know TEP is working closely with them in the development. One, they're going to, the initial part of the plan, again, my understanding is it's going to be all from sustainable sources of power. Now, they're getting those from TEPs using TEP sustainable sources. But there's a lot of different opportunities. And for future of expansions of these kind of projects, there's going to be needs some more power investment. And the companies, again, once we get rolling, the companies are going to be able to come in. And I know everybody right now listening is probably going, oh, those are promises. Those are unheard of. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's always a risk when we bring companies in on, will it develop to be as big as we think it will or hope we will? Will it have the economic impact that we think it will or we hope it will? Mm-hmm. There's some pretty hardcore numbers on the financial side that if the city of Tucson approves this, annexes it, and the amount of money they will get from property taxes alone and business taxes will far exceed some of the numbers we've been hearing the city talk about on shortfalls. It's going to more than make up for that.
But the consumer worries that, oh, they're going to use a lot of power, and that means maybe my power is going to go out or cost a lot more.
And that's the responsibility that falls on the providers and continued development of improved power systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that don't want to have the full conversation on what kind of sources are green and sustainable that can be used out there.
If it is defeated by the council, and they're going to look at this in mid-August, just a few seconds left, and maybe we'll pick up on this after the mid-show break, what message would that send for economic development?
Well, I listened to the League of Women Voters Ward 6 forum, and I'll tell you, Leighton Rockefeller Jr. was the only one that said his biggest fear about this. He says, I need more information like everybody does, but you need that information to make a good decision. Is what's the message we're sending to any employer on whether you can come to Tucson? Water's going to be a factor on any employer that comes here.
All right, take a break right here. More with General Ted Maxwell. A lot of stuff we are covering and more to cover after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Where did this week go? So fast already. This portion of our program, and we're always delighted to talk about green things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I met with the owners, Jan and Jack, over the weekend, got an update on all the things they're doing over there. Boy, what responsible owners. They love their what they do. Their 13-acre site, of course, has so many beautiful plants. And then they have Zocalo Village. Two of the three buildings are still standing, soon to be torn down. They are in a floodplain, but they'll be moving, of course, merchandise over to the new building. They hope they won't be moving a lot of it there because they're discounting it in many cases at least 50% off. So some deep discounts, great selection of pottery. They source pottery really from all over the world, Arizona's largest selection of pottery. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. So much to discuss with General Ted Maxwell, and that's why I invited the General to be with me for a full hour. We rarely do full hour interviews on this program, but there is so much going on. And General Maxwell, for folks that don't know, is the head of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, which kind of a who's who of businesses. General, you've got 122 members. Is that about right? More than that?
We're up to about 155 right now.
155? Yeah. Well, you're growing the business. President and CEO there since 2011. And of course, the General had a wonderful military career with the Air Force. And he's so busy with not only the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, but then he represents Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board, and he's also the ADOT representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors, which will be meeting tomorrow as they take the next step toward crafting something that they can present to the voters for another 20-year regional transportation plan. But we will get to that shortly. We've talked about Project Blue extensively in segment number two, but we really haven't finished our conversation about power.
Well, we talked about the challenge. I do believe that most folks, and what we haven't heard from yet is Tucson Water has been part of these conversations. And that's going to come out now that the issue's gone to the city, because they are going to be the water supplier. Mm-hmm. They are very comfortable with the information they've got. And my understanding is those entities have signed the non-disclosure agreement. So mm-hmm. they know those numbers. Mm-hmm. The numbers just aren't public yet. They're going to release more numbers. Mm-hmm. And it tends to be the one that there more people are worried about. Okay, what's the power requirements going to be? And people have to understand that they want to come in. They're going to invest $3.6 billion in capital mm-hmm. to get this up and running. $3.6 billion. Mm. We talked about the 18 miles of purple pipe, and I was surprised, Bill, but the purple pipe for reclamation is actually purple. I didn't know that. I always thought it might just be a slang, but it's actually purple.
I assume it would be underground.
It is. Okay. It's all underground. It's that way of
like
somebody.
Like the Alaska pipeline, we're not going to see purple.
It's going to be underground, and where it's going to be laid, all that's public. If you can go back and find the briefing that was given to the county board of supervisors.
So water side, you're comfortable.
Okay. But there's a lot of potential growth, and whether this company comes, whether anybody else comes, we're always going to have to be on top of and address and support those who are providing us with our energy power. There's a lot of them. We talk about TEP, and TEP is the big player in here, but you've got Trico, you've got, you know, there are other folks that are supplying power to the area, but we need to keep addressing that, because with the more technological demands, I mean, how many people, you know, are walking around now with a computer in their pocket?
Mm.
You
know, I am.
Where technology's gone is just amazing. But let's go back. Part of their solution is not just that initial capital investment, $3.6 billion, but they're going to want to continue to work with the providers to ensure that they've got the needs that they need on their electric needs. And that's going to be including even more investment. You know, it's a big part of land. There's been talk about maybe there could be some you know, solar panels, some group out there. Now, I'm going to leave it up to them to make the decisions on how that worked. That's their job. That's their role. It's their job. And I'm going to trust the city and the county who's working with them. I think what's happened is the public has caught, you know, Scott is getting riled up about this, and they're already, you know, it's now fallen on the city of Tucson. It's going to come to them. The city of Tucson has to agree to rezone, which is what the county rezoned it. They have to agree to that rezoning. Mm-hmm. And then they have to agree to basically provide the water. Mm-hmm. If they don't provide the water, this doesn't happen. And what do we lose? We lose $3.6 billion investment, a direct revenue impact to the city of $250 million over 10 years. That's just the direct. That's the actual money they're paying. That's not the taxes. The secondary and 3,000 construction jobs. Mm-hmm. We are currently in this region. Folks are going. The workers who live here. Whether they're electricians, whether they're construction, they're having to go to Phoenix for jobs because we don't have any growth going on here. And I don't mean growth and population boom. We don't have any business development. Mm-hmm. We've got a high poverty level in this region, and we are not growing jobs and opportunities for anybody. Mm-hmm. And if this ends up becoming, and the other thing I'd like to say is everybody's made a big deal about 180 permanent jobs are what it's going to support.
Yeah, very few permanent jobs.
That's what they put down in paper for the requirements to meet the needs of this agreement. If you look at the plan, the where they want to go and how much they want to do, it's going to be a lot more jobs, and there's probably going to be a lot higher level pay. You look at the average at other data centers, and there are more employees, and there's a higher level pay. Mm-hmm. So remember, this is all part of the negotiation to get them to come on board.
And who will be using these products?
All of us. Okay, there's any businesses.
Do we know what company? I know it's part of the non-disclosure group, but what are some of the companies that folks might know that use these type of facilities?
Okay, so it's actually not who uses them, it's who runs them.
Who runs them? Okay. Okay.
Who runs them, but you've got Amazon Web Services, okay? Mm-hmm. You've got Meta. Facebook people. Mm-hmm. They've got it. You've got Prime. There's a ton. Let me. Mm-hmm. As I said, I just closed that email, which had all those on there. So let me call this one back up real quick for you, because I do think it's important. And this is kind of the point of what message is sent. Okay, so Google Cloud platform, and this is all just found on the web on who does
this
the hyperscalers and the hyperscaler marketplace.
And hyperscaler means.
What a hyperscaler is a cloud technology companies that deploy and maintain high-end computing farms. So it's
farms. It's
because people
computing farms.
If there's a technology company here that wants to stand up and their company is going to be providing a cloud-based services, they need a hyperscaler, they need a data center. That's where they're going to run their cloud-based performance. Not every company is going to have a computer in the corner of their one and it's going to serve the United States. It's got it. The level of computation that's required and the access to the cloud, the access to get that information to go is just, that's why they call it a hyperscaler, because you need so much. But those farms are what's used to distribute the systems. They do the computation. It goes out. So any company that wants to do cloud-based, whether it's something as easy, I guess, as a marketplace or cloud-based calculations to support an AI system or that they need this kind of computation. In the U.S., the U.S.-based top hyperscalers and marketplaces are Google Cloud Platform, Amazon and Amazon's Web Services, AWS. A lot of people see AWS and stuff. Microsoft, and they've got an Azure Web Services. But then Meta, Apple, IBM, Oracle, they all have efforts in this field and will be looking to expand their data centers. Mm-hmm. For Tucson to take a look at one of those, let's just assume it's going to be one of those seven. And again, I have no idea because I don't. But that's just the U.S.
base.
What if
it is one of those seven? What does that mean?
That's a great sign to others that are looking to expand, to grow, to move. Amazon, then all of a sudden Tucson, we'll just say it's Google Cloud. Mm-hmm. They chose Tucson. Mm-hmm. So you don't think there's going to be other companies and other businesses that are going to look at coming to choose Tucson? But... And these are major companies. Not one of those companies is a small company that's just hoping to survive. It's a company that's got the ability to invest in the community, invest in the region, and invest in more business. And once you say no, if we turn them away, when's the next time we're going to get another opportunity? Because these companies aren't going to come. Water's going to be a factor for all of us living in Arizona for the rest of the millennials. And you know what? We have to come up with solutions. And using reclaimed water, something we don't do very efficiently right now, is one of them, and that's what they're proposing.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. What are we going to do about RTA next? That's our next question for General Ted Maxwell. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. We'll be right back.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Look at that temperature over in Silver City. Very delightful. Anytime you can get upper 80s in July, I'm in. Wow. Well, why is, people may wonder, why is the temperature cooler over there? The elevation is 5,000 to 7,000 feet. And that's why so many of our listeners have a wonderful experience over there, especially in the summer. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, I-10 to Lordsburg, which is, I think it's Lordsburg, maybe the second exit in the state of the New Mexico, the land of enchantment. Take a left at Lordsburg and then up about, well, you'll start climbing to Silver City. And you'll have a great time, I know. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website. And start your planning now for an enchanting getaway this summer, this weekend, or maybe a midweek getaway. Anyway, it's always great to get away at some point during the summer. General Ted Maxwell is here. General Maxwell, the host. one of the five hosts of The Morning Voice. General Maxwell is on from 7 to 9 on KVOI. And, of course, he is the leader of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, retired military, retired two-star major general in the Air Force, very active with the Arizona Transportation Board, and he sits on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors, known as the RTA, and the RTA will be meeting tomorrow. What is on the agenda here, General?
Well, I think most people know that, So Farhad Maghimi had been the executive director for about 13 years, and the board released him from those duties about a month ago now, and have hired Michael Ortega, former city manager, also the former Cochise County DOT.
He has a great reputation.
He's been, people sometimes, because his last spot was the manager of the city of Tucson, they always think of him as that, but he's worked in this region forever. He's an advocate of infrastructure. He understands the importance, especially growing up in the Cochise County area, and the points of infrastructure. But he's come in, and tomorrow's board meeting will be both hearing from him on his visions, what he thinks, but it will also be the opportunity for the board to kind of outline with him what their expectations are. I mean, he knows the broad-based expectations.
Right.
We need to get a plan that's solid and people understand and can have confidence in to complete the RTA 1 projects. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely critical. Mm-hmm. And we've got about 8 weeks to get a plan to the Board of Supervisors so that we don't lose the funding, what is the current funding from RTA. I will require, obviously, going back to the voters, and it has to go back in March. If we don't make the March deadline for the RTA next to be approved by the voters, we'll guarantee whether we push one forward and are successful later or not, we'll have at least a 9-month gap. Well, we'll lose that half percent sales tax, and we will therefore lose the ability to even support programs such as transit and others that are funded through the RTA.
Yeah. You've got to get everybody on the same page tomorrow.
We do. And here, the big key is, I think what we're going to hear, what I'm hoping we're going to hear, is going to be something along the lines of, okay, we've put this plan out to the public.
Right.
We've got the feedback from the survey, which the survey is, it's accurate in the sense that people who are passionate, who are engaged, who know about RTA Next are giving you their input. Mm-hmm. You're also going to hear tomorrow some polling data from Mike Noble from Noble Predictive Insights.
What did Mike and his team, what was the bottom line? And I know Mike, and he's been a great guest on our show in the past. What was his bottom line?
Here's the bottom line. First off, only 13% of the people polled in Pima County actually know about RTA Next.
Is that right? It's that low?
So that's, that tells me that when the surveys are out there, I mean, let's be honest, Bill, people expect their roads to be in good shape.
Yeah.
And most of the time, they're going to blame the communities.
Yes.
But they don't understand the funding sources. You and I have talked a lot about the state funding issues. And the Regional Transportation Authority brings in 2 times as much as the total funding we've got for regional infrastructure from the state and the federal government. So that's what we're talking about losing. We're talking about losing 67% of the funding we've got for regional transportation and infrastructure. Hmm. We've got to get there. But the bottom line on the polling data, the second one that carried the weight, and the board will get to see the numbers tomorrow in every municipality, was cars are still everybody's primary mode of transportation.
Wow.
It doesn't matter. For
that
family,
does not
families,
surprise me.
Families under 25,000, their primary mode of transportation is a personal vehicle. In the city of Tucson, primary mode of transportation personal vehicles. In all the outlying areas, it makes sense that personal vehicles would be it. But we are a large county. Pima County is huge. The city of Tucson is a large city. You know, could we make improvements on transit? You bet. Could we make improvements on access and accessibility to improve bike paths? And that's all built in the RTA Next. But we've got the plan that has now gone forward. We've got the survey coming back. We've got polling data that's coming back. And we're now at the position that we've got to take a look at this plan. It's too late to make major, significant changes, but there's a lot of changes in between. We're going to also find out in the poll that people want the roads fixed. And in the RTA Next is a category called arterial reconstruction. Right now, it's only got $20 million in there. I'm going to be a proponent that we need to push that to a much higher number, which means we're going to have to take money away from some projects or move it around, or we may have to consider going a little higher on our forecast for the amount of money income that's going to come in. Because right now we are using the absolute pessimistic forecast.
Jeff has a quick comment, 790-2040. Jeff called us on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead, Jeff. You're with General Ted Maxwell. Jeff, are you with us? Nope. One moment, please, says Tom. Okay. Go ahead, General.
Well, I was just going to say, there's one thing that I did want to hit on the data centers, because we kind of talked about what's actually occurring inside the center itself, but what we didn't talk about is what it brings to our community. Okay. One, it brings jobs, it brings investment, it brings opportunity, but it also supports all of our major industries. The education centers, the universities, the colleges, the research that they do at those centers, they require computing power that they don't have. Aerospace and defense, business, bioscience and healthcare, advanced manufacturing, financial services, all those who have a big footprint and presence inside of our county require the data centers to have storage for learning, for their conferences, for computing, AI in the future. But people also forget it's going to support our small businesses, because any small business that's trying to make its way in a technological industry needs this kind of capacity.
Okay, Jeff, you are up to the plate. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, good afternoon, gentlemen. Quick comment. That 13% number you gave out just a minute ago about the number of people who actually knew about the RTA was kind of staggering.
It scared me, too.
Yeah, that's just another topic for another day. But I was going to suggest that one of the RTA's big problems now is it's a victim of its own success. Back when it came into being, and for the 10 years before it, or maybe even 20, the road conditions in Pima County and Tucson were the number one topic on everybody's mind. It was that bad. The RTA was an act of desperation to address that problem. The RTA has actually alleviated a lot of the worst problems that brought it into being. As a result, every time you drive down the road, you're not constantly gaffed by some intersection or railroad track or whatever the case might be. So it's not the constant irritation that was there in 1995, whatever, pick your number. And I don't know how you're going to overcome that, but you're a victim of your own success. That was my simple observation.
Okay. Thank you.
Jeff, I really appreciate that comment. And what I've been telling folks in the community that are going, okay, we've got to start getting the message out. We got to start getting the message out about RTA Next. My answer is, we got to get out the message about the success of RTA 1. We're focusing on 9 projects that have not yet been completed, but will be, have not yet completed, but we're not celebrating all that has happened that has made this community easier for us to get around, which improves the quality of life for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, thank you very much for your call. That's a really good point there. Your final thoughts, General, before we say goodbye.
Well, I ask everybody on the Project Blue, and again, two weeks ago, I probably knew very little.
You're pretty much up to speed on what I believe.
Yeah. I still haven't seen any of the information, but you're going to get more and more information. Listen to it. Have an open mind. Understand the use of the reclaimed water in the cycle. And don't forget that Tucson and our region, Pima County, we've got issues that can only be addressed by jobs and opportunities to make the quality of life for all the people that live here better. We can't keep saying no to businesses that want to invest and locate in our community.
All right, General Ted Maxwell, we'll look for your work on the radio on Tuesday mornings from 7 to 9 on this radio station. So on behalf of General Maxwell and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster wishing everybody well.